Welcome to Daily Defining Moments. This is Pastor Allen, and I'm so glad you're with me. Our goal each day is to help you open your Bible and connect with Jesus. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We're reading through the New Testament portion of the one-year Bible in the New Living Translation. Today is November 28th, and our reading comes from 2 Peter chapter 2. And in this chapter, Peter is going to really get fired up about false teachers who are manipulating the scripture to lead people astray. Listen to what he says beginning in verse 1. He says, there were also false prophets in Israel. So in the Old Testament, there's always been some false prophets throughout history, just as there will be false teachers among you. So currently, they will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny Jesus who bought them. In this way, they'll bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. So several thoughts come to mind. First of all, we live in an information age. And you can get online, you can Google anything, and you can find a thousand or actually a millions of different opinions about everything today. And we have to be careful. We've got to come to the Word of God with humility and allow God to speak. God has communicated through His Word who He is and what He is inviting us into. What does it look like to live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven? And so we've got to have humility when we approach the Word of God. Remember what we learned in James chapter 1? James says, we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. In other words, when it comes to understanding truth and applying the truth to ethics in modern day life, we got to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and let's not get angry when the Word of God confronts our lifestyle or confronts our culture or confronts popular opinion. We've got to trust God. Remember, everything God does is motivated by His love for us and His desire to bless us, to invite us into our best life. So God has communicated some things to us through His Word about how the world works and who He is and what He hopes for each of us. And we've got to embrace that, believing that He is good, that He is for me, that He's trying to bless me. And if I'll stand on the truth and live out this truth, that it's going to benefit me and it's going to bring Him glory. And it actually becomes a blessing to everybody around me and to culture. However, often in the moment, it's hard to see and to understand why God tells us to do certain things or why God commands certain things in the Word. But we've got to realize our knowledge, our experience, our wisdom is limited. We're finite, and we've got to trust eternal, all-wise, all-knowing God. So we just need to begin with that understanding, and we've got to come to the Word of God with humility. You remember, all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is God-breathed. We talked about this yesterday. In other words, it comes out of the mouth of God. The Holy Spirit moved upon the authors of scripture. So we've got this supernatural word from God. It's from God, and it's profitable. It's all good. It's all profitable to rebuke us, to correct, to confront our thinking and our behavior. So in that moment when we're rebuked by the Word, man, the truth is that doesn't feel good. None of us like it. The next thing He says, though, is that it corrects us. He doesn't just rebuke us. He lifts us up. He encourages us. He restores us. And then He equips us for every good work. He prepares us for life. And remember yesterday, all that we need for life in godliness. So we've got to come to the Word and to trust it. Here's another thing we have to understand, is that the more knowledge we have of the Word of God, the more that is required or expected of us. We are accountable for what we know. In fact, James says, listen, everybody shouldn't become a teacher because teachers are held to a higher standard because now they know and understand the Word of God. And so their disobedience or immorality or poor ethical choices are not made in ignorance, but made in knowledge. And when we make those choices in knowledge, man, we are worse off. And then he says, sometimes people teach, and we've seen this in modern day culture, we have to be careful. He says, sometimes people use or manipulate scripture for their own benefit, to justify their own lifestyle or to get rich. And so I think we've got to be careful about that today. In fact, in modern times, sometimes people have manipulated scripture in order to get people to give more for their own enrichment, as if I give in order to give, the whole prosperity gospel. Listen, we give because God gave to us. We give because we're growing in generosity. We're becoming more and more like God, who is extravagantly generous. We give because it benefits us. We give because it allows us to put Jesus first. I don't give so that I can get more back and get rich. That's ridiculous. So the whole prosperity gospel thing, I think, is an example of teachers manipulating scripture really for their own benefit. And we've got to be real careful about that. Another big thing today is often we're misusing scripture in order to justify our sexual ethics. And the Bible is real clear about sexuality, and it's one of those issues that's really not a gray issue, and it's not a issue that's out on the perimeter. It's actually a black and white issue that is really core, very, very important to what it means to be a follower of Christ. And we have good biblical sexual ethics. So the Bible teaches that sex is between a man and a woman in the context of marriage, and that everything else is outside of God's plan. So we got to be okay with that. Another area is people have used scripture to abuse authority. So even me growing up, I remember at times being in a particular service or listening to a particular teacher teach, and to use the idea of spiritual authority in a way that I think was unhealthy, right? This whole honor culture. Well, I think that a pastor should be honored. I'm a pastor and I want to be honored, but not in an unhealthy way. I don't want to be treated like I'm God, because I'm not. I am an ordinary man, right? So I want the office of pastor to be honored, but not in an unhealthy, abusive, oppressive, controlling way. That's unhealthy. So these are three just kind of modern examples: money, sex, and power, right? Where we have to be very careful how we use the Word of God. The Word of God should always build up, strengthen, encourage, equip, and empower the people who are hearing that Word. And when that's not the case, it's generally being handled incorrectly. And he goes on to say, beginning in verse 4, all the way down through verse 10, that God's going to judge those false teachers. And he says, just like God judged angels, and just like God brought judgment in Noah's day, and just like God brought judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, these teachers who are manipulating the scripture for their own benefit, God is going to bring judgment. And then in verse 12, he says, often they're doing this to justify their own lifestyle and their own ethical choices. Listen to what he says. He says, these false teachers are like unthinking animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. They scoff at things they don't understand, and like animals, they'll be destroyed. In other words, like an animal, they're just driven by their lust. Like an animal, they're just driven by their craving. They're driven by their appetite rather than being rational, cognitive, thinking beings with a soul who also are living in connection with God. Instead, they're living totally in the natural. Verse 13, their destruction is their reward for the harm they have done. They love to indulge in evil pleasures in broad daylight. They are a disgrace and a stain among you. They delight in deception, even as they eat with you in your fellowship meals. They commit adultery with their eyes, and their desire for sin is never satisfied. satisfy. They lure unstable people into sin, and they're well-trained in greed. They live under God's curse. They have wandered off from the right road, and they fall in the footsteps of Balaam, son of Beor. So the idea is that these teachers, the reason they manipulate Scripture is really because there are all these unsettled issues in their own heart. It's because of their own lust. It's because of their own immaturity, their own rebellion, their own sinfulness, that then they're manipulating Scripture to try to get everybody else to join in on their sin. And again, Peter says, listen, God's going to judge them and take care of them. And I just want to say to all of us, how proud I am of you, of every day taking time to open the Word of God and allowing God to speak, allowing the Word of God to speak, allowing the Word of God to strengthen, to equip, to prepare, to rebuke, to challenge, to push on you so that all of us together can step into God's very best. So let's just pray into that. Father, I thank you so much for your Word. It is life to us. God, I'm so grateful that you have supernaturally preserved your Word in Scripture, and that today we can have our own Bibles and we can stay in the Word and we can meditate on your Word day and night. Lord, it is life and peace. God, your Word is transforming us from the inside out. Your Word is truth, and the truth is setting us free. God, we're so grateful for all of that. God, I'm so grateful for all the teachers in my life who have faithfully taught me the Word of God, rather than manipulating the Scripture for their benefit to oppress and control me or to justify their ethical or lifestyle choices. Instead, they used the Word of God in a healthy way that benefited and blessed me. God, I'm so grateful for that. And Lord, I pray for every person listening that every day as we're opening the Word of God together, that your Word would build our faith and transform our hearts and minds, renew our thinking. God, we don't want to be conformed to the pattern of this world. We don't want to be squeezed into the mold of this world. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the truth of your Word. So God, we open our hearts, we open our minds to you today, and we invite you to have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for being with me today. Hope that encourages. So proud of you getting in the Word every day. Hey, remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We'll see you again tomorrow.